It's always a pleasure to share God's word. It's so good to see you. Let me thank Pastor Keith and his lovely wife Donna for the opportunity. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians with me, chapter number 4. I think Pastor Keith was somebody was so kind as to put the outline in the bulletin this morning. So if you have your bulletin, you'll see the outline. I've got a few fill-ins. I want to share God's word this morning. But before we read, let me remind everybody, we're starting a brand new year. Wow, what an amazing opportunity to invest into somebody's life. 2024 is going to bring some changes. Whether they're good or whether they're bad, I think depends upon the church. We have a responsibility, and that is to let our light shine in this world of darkness. So I've entitled today's message, "Is Your Walk Matching Your Talk?" Because I really want you to think about this coming year and the witness that you're going to be for the glory of God and how He's going to use you to touch and transform lives. Let me remind everybody in here, God is all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He is above all that we could ever think or speak. But He still chooses to use you as part of the plan in touching lives. And so I want us to, again, before I read the scripture, we're going to pray again. But I really want to plant a seed this morning in your mind and in your heart that you are somebody's gift. The same way that pastor reaches out to the homeless, you may be the one to reach out to a special friend that God's put in your life. You may be the one to reach out to somebody you work with. But my friend, I'm here to tell you today, you have purpose. And God's called you by your name to fulfill a calling upon your life. And it doesn't matter if you're 90 or if you're 14. If you've accepted that blood that washed you clean and you live under the name of Jesus this morning, my friend, you have purpose. And you have a reason to live. Okay? So, the Word of God, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. I know this is not a King James only church, but I'm preaching a lot of them. So I have to read a lot of King James, and I'm just telling you what I'm reading. So if you have a NIV or a King James, it may sound a little bit different, but I love the way this reads because I'm very simple. I am who I am, okay? And I can understand this very well, okay? So let me share this scripture with you. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives them because they close their minds and harden their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned from Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned about the truth that comes from Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Let's pray. Father, once again, Lord, we stand before You. And I pray, Father God, Lord, that for the next few moments, You would cover us with the blood of Jesus. Lord, let not a man be seen or heard, but Father, let Your word be powerful and sharp as a two-edged sword. Father, let it transform our thought life and our heart, Lord, that we might do things that are pleasing unto You. Father, I thank You for Pastor Keith and Don. And Lord, I pray a blessing over them. Father, we wrap by faith, Lord, we just wrap them in Father, your presence right now. God, that you would minister to them and just encourage them, Lord, as they're all, Father, finding strength and encouragement in you. Father, speak to these, your people, today. And Lord, we'll give you praise. We'll give you glory. We'll give you all the honor. For you are the great I am. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. In the outline I wrote down, there's five different reasons that we may fail to live as we desire to live. Because I know that that old man dies hard. I've been walking with the Lord 34 years now, and I didn't get saved until later in life. And after 34 years, you know, I still struggle with my tongue and saying the right. My wife says it like this. She says, you say the right thing, you just say it the wrong way. And so I struggle. And I want to be, you know, we all want to be liked and we want to be accepted. But my heart is I want to be a man of God. And I want to speak truth. And sometimes when you speak truth, it comes out harsh, which I don't mean it to be harsh. I wish I had this gifting of overwhelming love where I could just say it and it'd be like honey being spilled all over everybody. And they just, oh, this is so good. But I don't have that gift. And so I struggle. And I get mad. Now, I'll be honest with you, nobody can make me madder than my two boys. I don't know what it is about my sons, but they know exactly how to punch me in the side to make me get real hot real quick. And I'll have to remind myself, stop. Count to 10. Breathe in. And what would Jesus do? And I'm here telling you, the old man dies hard. And you may be struggling with him today. Well, I'm going to share with you how we can overcome that if we really, really put it to the task. Why we fail to live as we desire. In verse number 17, the scripture said this. It said, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. In other words, the fertility of our thinking. We have to change the way we think. My pastor taught me when I got saved, he said, son, listen, here's what you need to do. You need to stand in front of the mirror and remind yourself who you are. And you know, 34 years later, I'm still doing that. When I have a rough day, I'll stand in front of the mirror and I'll say, Chuck, you are a child of God. You're anointed. You're called. You have purpose. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I remind myself who I am because my thinking gets off track sometimes. You may be here this morning, and the biggest enemy you have is yourself. So if we can ever learn to stop being negative in our thinking and remind ourselves who we are in God, oh, man, it's like the lights come on and we begin to live out. Because, see, listen, what you put in would eventually come out. That's why it's so important for us to study God's Word and to read God's Word, because it's a light unto our path. Secondly, we have a darkened understanding. Verse number 18 says this, their minds were full of darkness, and they wandered far from the life God gives because they closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. My friend, I don't have to tell you this, but we live in a dark world. There is sin all around us, and it's getting worse. Now, that doesn't sound like a very positive thing to say, does it? It's getting worse. In other words, we have to stand strong and firm and listen, know who your enemy is. I watched a movie the other night, Freedom.
The Sound of Freedom.
Yes, okay, and I'm not going to go into what I think about it because there's so many children here. If you haven't seen it, man, it just crushed my heart. And then they said this. They said, America, land of the free, home of the beautiful in America, that trash is taking place here. My friend, it don't take a smart man to realize or to see we live in some dark times. That's why it's so important that we are who we are and we stand strong and firm in our faith. Verse number 18 says this. Their minds are full of darkness. Well, I just read it. And they wander far from the life of God because they've closed their minds and they've hardened their hearts. The third one is separated. Listen. The reason we don't live the life we're supposed to live is because we're separated from God. Sometimes we allow things to come into our life. Imagine that, a child of God. A child that wants to please God, make Him happy. We will let things intrude in our life. Whether it's a thought pattern, maybe a habit. There's things that creep into our life that if we don't stop it, I mean, just it's like a mosquito. If you don't slap that mosquito when he lands on you, guess what he's going to do? He's going to bite you. After he bites you, he's going to drain blood out of you. And that blood is your life source. He's going to drain it out of you. It's the same way with sin. If we don't guard our heart and separate ourselves from it, it will find a way into our life and it will begin to drain the very life in Jesus that we have. Number four, verse number 18 again, I'm not going to read it, but it says that they harden their hearts. You see, the reason we can't live the way we want to live is maybe there's something in our life that we've hardened our heart against. And after 34 years of walking with the Lord, you know what I see most people struggle with? Forgiveness. Forgiveness, letting go of the hurt. Letting go of the pain. Now listen, I'm not going to tell you you'll ever forget somebody that has hurt you. But you can forgive them of the hurt. I promise you, in 34 years, I've been hurt many times. But in Jesus, I've learned this. I've got men, well, some of you know this. Keisha and I pastored for 23 years. Listen, you get hurt. But what you have to do is learn to forgive, let go, because all of us know what it means to be tormented. Have you ever had something that just was really just a pain and it just was always there, always poking at you, always hurting, always trying to find a way to knock you down? I call it the tormentor. That's what unforgiveness is. It's a tormentor. It will torment you the rest of your life unless you knock it out. Get rid of it. The only way you can do that is to forgive people of their trespasses. Okay? Now, I'm going to say it again. That doesn't mean I forget the trespass. It just means I release them from the responsibility. And I say, you know what? I cover it with the blood of Jesus. Number five. If you're not where you're supposed to be, you're not living as you desire, the scripture says it could be because you're indulging in impurities. Verse number 19. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. You see, these five things here, if you have this in your life, it's keeping you from being all that you can be for the glory of God. That's why we need to deal with the secret places of our life. Because you can't hide it. It's there. It may be stuck in the closet somewhere, but you know it's there. And you have to deal with these things, or we fail to live the desired life that we want to live in Jesus. So let me remind you, wrong thinking leads to wrong living. Change your thinking, because see, listen, you can overcome every one of these. You can overcome every obstacle in front of you by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. So how can we make our walk match our talk? Well, in verse number 22, come back up here. In verse number 22, hold on. Modern technology, don't you love it? All right, verse number 22 says this. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. So how do you make your walk match your talk? You put off your old self. In other words, listen, you have to die. Now, we don't like talking about dying too much, because when we talk about dying, we think about our life ending. But listen, spiritually, when you start dying to the things of the flesh, you start living by the things of the Spirit. That's why he says, put off the sinful man. You have to renew your mind, according to verse number 23. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and your attitude. In other words, renew your mind. And then put on the new nature, or your new self. And I think I left it off, didn't I? See, what happens when you get in a rush, you just forget stuff. I didn't put it up there. But the third one is put on the new nature. Or you could say your new self, your spiritual being. All right, I want to share with you eight things and then we're out of here. Okay, I'm going to do it real quick. Promise you. Eight areas to renew our thinking in. Number one, what is success? I know that in the flesh we think success is big cars, big houses, lots of money, raising your kids to love the Lord. That would be a great success. But the scripture says this in Joshua chapter number 1, verses 7 and 8. He says, be careful to obey all the law of God. Do not turn from the left or the right, that you may succeed wherever you go. Do not let this book depart from your mouth. Be careful to do everything in it, and you will be prosperous and successful. Now see, I was not a real smart guy, but that's not what the world says success is. God says, if you want to be successful, chase after me. Hide my word in your heart. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Chase after me. Follow me. Listen for the still small voice, that I may be able to lead and guide you. You see, that's what true success is. Being a child of God, a woman of God, a man of God, a mother of God, a father of God. You want to make a difference? We all want to make a difference. Number two is significance or success. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is in Christ. Significance. You have purpose. There's a reason that you're here today. On 12/31/23. Because you can make a difference. You're making a difference. Number three is fulfillment. A life honoring God brings true fulfillment. The scripture says, 1 Peter 4 and 10, it says, each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace. It is in its various forms to others. One of the most fulfilling things in the world is to share your faith. And you say, well, Brother Chuck, let me tell you, the easiest way to share your faith. You don't have to preach. You don't have to know every scripture in the Bible. All you have to do is tell your story. That's all you have to do. Tell people what God's done for you. Tell people how he has picked you up, turned you around, and set your feet on solid ground. Tell them how you was going this way, but all of a sudden there was a light that shined, or however you met the Lord, and you was going that way, and after you met him, you started going a different direction. That's what fulfillment. Listen, when you share the gospel as a born-again believer, oh, there's a feeling. Now listen, I know we're not supposed to live by feelings, are we? Because your feelings will lie to you. But there's something about sharing the gospel that just, man, you just try it. It's going to crank your tractor, I promise. Yeah. Number four, satisfaction. In generations to come, Psalms 107:9 says this, God satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. God satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. My pastor used to tell me all the time, he says, son, listen, if you want something from God, chase him. Chase after it. If you want to understand something that the Bible says, all you got to do is chase after God. Pray. Ask him. You want truth out of the Word of God? Chase God. He'll reveal truth. He'll show you things that Pastor Keith can never show you. He'll show you things that I can never show you, because the Word of life, the Word of life is the Word of God. And the truth is, it's your life. It will give you life in a sense of purpose and well-being. That's why when we go to heaven, we're going to stand there all by ourselves. We're not going. Pastor Keith ain't going to be there to defend me. And your wife's not going to be there to defend you. You're going to stand there all by yourself and give an account. If you want real satisfaction in life, feed on the Word of God. Because nothing will ever take the place of a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me bring this home, okay? Let me this part of it home. There's nobody on this earth I love more than my wife. We've been married 43 years. I know she robbed the cradle. I don't look that old. We've got 4 grown kids, 9 grandbabies, and I love that woman to death. She gave me all my kids and all my grandbabies. We have a wonderful life. But she doesn't bring, as much as I love her, she doesn't bring what the Lord brings into my life. Real satisfaction, real commitment,
real peace and joy and all the things we're looking for in life start with Him.
Amen.
And see, when you're right with Him, this one automatically blooms and blossoms and grows. Number five, you want real joy in your life? You want happiness? The scripture says this. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this. It says, be thankful in all the circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now that's tough. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Brother Chuck, you just don't know what I've been through. I don't. But I know in every circumstance, good or bad, He said this, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Several years ago, it's been 15 years ago, my oldest son overdosed on cocaine. His buddies just dropped him off at Jackson's Hospital, unconscious. Rolled him out. Just rolled him out of the car. Took off. I'll never forget getting that phone call, and we come out from Millbrook to Montgomery and went in, and there's my son laying on a gurney. And they'd given up on him. But my wife wouldn't give up. When my son laid on that gurney, Keisha must have thought she was a prophet, because she climbed up on top of him and said, you will live and not die. And them trying to get her out of there, my son coughed. See, I wasn't in there all that time because, man, I just saw a blue kid laying on a gurney. And, man, I know that my wife and her children are like, maybe I talk too much. Listen, have you ever watched the Serengeti, the National Geographic? That's me. I love it. You ever watch the lions? You ever see the lioness? How she will whoop the king of the jungle. Amen. Over the little cub. You've got a beautiful picture of my wife. She would fight heaven and hell for the kids. And I was, you know, this big spiritual guy, you know, we're pastoring. And at that moment in my life, I couldn't even pray. I didn't even know what to do. It's like all my faith was gone. God brought him through that.
Amen.
And I, you know, I don't know, God's been good to us. And you may have experienced something where you lost your child or lost somebody you love. But it doesn't change the fact that God is love. And He loves you. And whether the experiences in life are bad or whether they turn out good, God is always good. And He loves you. There's nothing more He wants than for you to have joy or happiness in your life. Even if you walked through the valley of the shadow of death, He's still there with you today. Number six. I put down fun.
And I love this scripture here, okay? Because you know what? To me, being a born again believer, a born again believer ought to have fun and joy in their life. I hate being around Christians that are, oh my, I just don't know. To despair, agony on me. I can't stand it. Life is short. We have a purpose. And life ought to be fun. The joy of the Lord is my strength. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes. In other words, listen, David at that particular point in his life, he says, you know what? I don't care what you think. I don't care what Pastor Keith thinks. I don't care what Dan thinks. I'm going to worship. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy my relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to shout. I'm going to sing. And you know what? Life is not over. And that may be a good message. No matter where you've come from, no matter what you've done, life is not over. Life still has purpose and it can be fun. Enjoy your life in Jesus. Number 7, stand strong. In other words, there's security. When you renew your mind and the thinking, you have strength. Stand strong. There's security. Psalms 112 and 7 says, the man who trusts in the Lord will never be shaken. He will have no fear of bad news, for his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That scripture stabbed me in the heart. Because you know what? When I looked at my son on that gurney, I'd lost all faith. But how many of you know that everything that happens in life is a lesson? And everything that happens in life is an opportunity for you to tell your story. It's called a testimony of what God has done in your life. Number 8, you can have peace. Romans 8, who shall separate us from the love of God? Absolutely nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of, in my lifetime, there's been a lot of things that's tried to come between me and the Lord. I mean, raising 4 kids and 9 grandkids, I mean, life is tough. And then you got to have a great marriage, and then you work with people, and man, how many of you know people are tough? Sometimes they're just doggone mean. People will try to separate you from God. Sometimes family will try to separate you from God. Sometimes a bad habit and addiction will try to separate you from God. But you know what? Listen, those are small obstacles. Those are opportunities to grow. Because if you're thinking and your mind is right, then you'll overcome all them by the power of Jesus, the power of the cross, the blood of Jesus. Stuff happens, but you know what? Life continues on. You have to put off the old self and renew your mind. You have to put on the new man. And that's exactly how you're going to have a powerful 2024. Because you think about it today. There's things we have to do. So how do I put on a new self? Real simple. You have to walk in fellowship with God. Fellowship, that means relationship. Now listen, I'm not trying to be ugly, but my wife and I wouldn't have a very good relationship if I only talked to her once a week. Now I'm not going to meddle. But you have to have a fellowship with God. You have to walk in obedience to His Word. In other words, there's a difference between reading His Word and allowing it to take place or find a place to grow in our life and then obeying what He says. It's not the suggestions. He put it there to protect us. And then you have to walk in submission. And that's probably one that every one of us in here struggle with. Remember, not my will, but His will be done. That's right. You have to walk in submission. So I don't know where you're at today in your relationship or, you know, going forward in 2024. But I know this. I know that God's already put people in your life that's watching you and looking at you and listening to what you say. Watching how you respond to certain situations in your life. And how we respond to those situations is going to be a risk, is going to be a witness to God's goodness and power in our life. Or it may be a stumbling block to somebody that's watching you. In 2024, I believe that we're going to see things that we've never seen before. I believe we're going to see spiritual things that are going to become more, I don't even know how to say it, but I think the Lord's going to reveal Himself in some new ways, and He's going to be tapping us on the shoulder and saying, hey, listen, it's me. You need to change this or, you know, tighten up here. But in 2024, if there's anything the church needs, is men and women of God that aren't just filling chairs, but they're actually living out their faith on a daily basis. And how that is in your life is between you and the Lord. But here's the number one thing. Does it glorify God? Does it lift up the name of Jesus? And are we bringing people to the cross so that the Holy Spirit can deal with them as individuals? I'm going to call it the year of the anointing. Because I believe God's going to use every one of us to reach more and to do more. Because there's still a lot left to be done. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we magnify You. And Lord, there's anything we desire, Lord, is to walk the walk and to talk the talk. Or to walk the walk that we're talking. To be, God, what we say we are. To be your hands, to be your feet, to be your voice. To be your people. So, Father, as we look at celebrating the beginning of 2024, I pray, oh God, Lord, that you would just wrap your arms around each individual here. And Father, draw them close to the cross. Lord, that they'll feel your power and your presence in a fresh, new way. For you alone are worthy. And Lord, we exalt you in Jesus' mighty name. The whole church says, amen and amen. Now let me ask you one last question. And I've still got 120 seconds. So let me ask you this. Maybe you're here this morning, you're struggling. Maybe instead of walking with the Lord, you've just been hanging out with him. Maybe you're not as close as you want to be. Or you may be here this morning and maybe you've never accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. My friend, I can tell you today is the greatest day that God's ever given us. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of hope, life, and joy. If you're here this morning, I'd love the opportunity to pray with you. After we dismiss, if you want me to pray with you or if there's anything I can, I'm here. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his light shine upon you. And may you be the light of this world that people so desperately need to see. Amen.